Imagine waking up one morning to find your brain has turned against you. Suddenly, stepping on a sidewalk crack feels like a death sentence. Touching a pencil triggers panic. Your clothes whisper threats. This was 16-year-old Allison Britz's reality when obsessive-compulsive disorder invaded her life without warning. Her memoir, Obsessed, has become required reading in many psychology programs for its raw, unfiltered portrayal of adolescent OCD. Unlike many mental health narratives that focus on recovery, Britz captures the terrifying descent into illness and the painstaking climb back toward normalcy. It began with a nightmare about brain cancer that felt like a premonition. The next day at school, stepping on a sidewalk crack triggered a forgotten childhood rhyme. Step on a crack, break your mother's back. Suddenly, her mind connected cracks to cancer with overwhelming certainty. Pain exploded in her skull until she moved her foot, bringing instant relief. In that moment, a terrifying thought crystallized. Avoiding cracks might prevent her cancer. As Allison's obsessions multiplied, she developed a bartering system with her OCD voice, trading food for forgiveness when breaking rules like stepping on cracks or miscounting. This system became both her liberation and prison, allowing her to function while destroying her health. For days, I've been trading away my food whenever I step on cracks or run out of steps, Allison recounts. Each mistake costs me a meal. Though constantly hungry, I find comfort in the pain, seeing it as proof I'm cancer-free. Within weeks, Allison was barely conscious, mind foggy, hands trembling. She fainted during a team run. When her friend Jenny confronted her about her eating habits and offered a cookie, Allison couldn't accept this unplanned food, eventually screaming at Jenny and fleeing in tears. The obsessions expanded beyond sidewalk cracks. One morning, reaching for her hairdryer, she felt violently thrown back by an invisible force screaming, "Do not touch that!" and "Death!" Soon, ordinary objects became deadly threats. Pretzels meant death. A penny signaled brain tumor. A blue pen equaled carcinoma. Even her clothes whispered, "Wear me and your mother will die." During a driver's education lesson, Allison found an unexpected explanation for her suffering. When her instructor mentioned being perfect in God's image, she had a revelation. Perhaps the voices weren't a monster inside her, but messages from God. She wasn't crazy, she was chosen. This religious interpretation offered temporary relief. Allison began reading the Bible obsessively and creating elaborate prayer rituals. Late nights found her on the den floor with her blue Bible, stomach growling from minimal food. If God was testing her, her bizarre behaviors became acts of devotion, not symptoms of illness. When invited to a classmate's party, her thoughts warned, "No parties, cancer, cancer, cancer." Taking this as divine guidance, she declined. This religious framing deepened her isolation. If God had chosen her for special communication, how could others understand? When her father confronted her behaviors, she felt angry. They couldn't comprehend the tragedy she'd prevented through her sacrifices. By finals, Allison's academic life had completely collapsed. Once a top student, she now spent days counting steps and avoiding cracks. During her chemistry exam, she stood due to contamination fears and deliberately failed by creating a zigzag pattern to save her mother's life. Even furniture developed personalities. Her bar stool radiating gentle rays of discontent, and a kitchen chair giving her an eyeless wink. Her world had transformed into a minefield of invisible threats only she could perceive. Writing became impossible as labeling attacked. Desk, paper clips, pencils. She threw her now dangerous book across the room in tears. The final breaking point came when Allison thought, "Your pajamas cause cancer." Exhausted, she stripped naked, believing everything carried deadly consequences. She called her mother sobbing, "There's nothing to wear," explaining all clothes were bad. When her mother suggested track pants, Allison wailed, "Mom, I can't." This moment, naked, unable to dress herself, finally revealed the severity of her struggle to her mother, who promised to make a doctor's appointment. At Dr. Mark's office, Allison's physical decline was evident. She weighed just 95 pounds, 20 pounds less than months earlier. After examination, he referred her to psychiatrist Dr. Jennifer Adams. In the waiting room, Allison found a pamphlet on obsessive-compulsive disorder that resonated deeply. Persistent unwanted thoughts, repetitive actions, invented rules and rituals to control anxiety. Allison secretly took the pamphlet and during your next session finally showed it to Dr. Adams, whispering, "I think I have this." She revealed her fears about cancer, her parents dying, and her belief that certain actions could prevent catastrophes. As Dr. Adams questioned her about contamination fears, unlucky colors, and religious concerns, Allison realized these weren't divine messages, but symptoms of an illness. Though terrified, she felt unexpected relief when the psychiatrist confirmed her self-diagnosis. Naming her condition offered both comfort and new challenges. She now knew her monster's name, but still needed to learn how to fight it. Dr. Virginia Nelson introduced Allison to exposure response prevention, ERP therapy, starting with her pencil obsession. When shown a pencil, Allison's anxiety surged to 9 out of 10, her mind filled with scribbling sounds and death certificates. As Dr. Nelson encouraged her to keep looking, Allison's anxiety dropped significantly within minutes. The therapist explained, "Fighting OCD is like boxing. Each time you go against a thought, it's a punch to its strength." Therapy progressed systematically from observing pencils to touching and writing with them. After confronting a pencil at home, Allison had a breakthrough. "It's just a pencil." As treatment advanced, Allison began rebuilding her life. She returned to school following Dr. Nelson's advice to leave her book pile home, carrying just one decoy binder. Despite her worries, she felt almost weightless. Encouraged by her progress, Allison reconnected with friends. When questioned about her absences, her friend Jenny unexpectedly defended her. "She sits with me at lunch. The girl eats like she's starving." Allison explained her OCD to Jenny using an annotated pamphlet. When Jenny asked if she was anorexic, Allison clarified her condition wasn't about hand-washing and germs as commonly misunderstood. Her particular type involved worrying about harm coming to her family, triggering preventative behaviors. Despite progress, Allison still struggled with her identity. At her next appointment, she expressed frustration about her persistent thoughts. Dr. Nelson explained she'd likely always have some OCD thoughts, some days worse than others, but would develop better control strategies. Rather than getting angry, Allison accepted this truth. She wouldn't return to her old self, but could embrace a new identity, someone who moves forward despite intrusive thoughts. OCD isn't merely excessive cleanliness, it's a cycle of intrusive thoughts creating anxiety that drives compulsive behaviors providing temporary relief. With proper treatment, even severe mental illness can be managed. Recovery means reclaiming your life while accepting the disorder's presence without letting it control your choices or happiness.